Hallelujah. Just one other thing to share. You might pray for Pastor Rob. He's on his way right now. He should have taken off a little bit ago. His father just passed away Friday night. And what a great miracle. Amen. After all of those years of rebellion and hatred for the gospel and a hatred for the people of God, the Lord is merciful. Amen. And Rob said for the first time in his life, the last time he spoke to his father, for the first time in his life, his father said, "Son, I'm proud of you." And what a way to go out, praise God. So just so happy for Rob in being able to come back and know his dad's gone home to be with the Lord. I've known Monty a lot of years, and it's just like, hallelujah, praise God. And so we rejoice in that, and just be prayerful. As you know, there's still conflict some throughout that family over the gospel, and just he's in a good place right now to come and let God's grace work in him. But just hold his hands up, and we believe Father will do some great things. Let's go ahead and pick up where we left off this morning, see how things go. Have you noticed that ever since we got that new clock, we've gone long every service? So, it's doing a good job, praise God, of keeping time. It's just me that's not. But you know, as we were looking at, some of these passages that have to deal with our not being ignorant of Satan's devices, us being able to recognize the world for what it is, and even in all of its subtleties, because isn't that one of the descriptions of who this enemy of ours is? He is very subtle, isn't he? We saw this morning his beauty, his majesty, his excellence. We see everything about him that so appeals to the natural man. He and his kingdom is what Father is in our kingdom. And we realize that everybody wants to be like him. Everybody in the world wants to be like the devil. See, we only see the negative parts of the devil from the eternal spiritual perspective. But from the natural parts of the devil, the world, the devil dresses the best. He has all the money, the power, the glory. Everybody wants to be like the devil. Hollywood is the devil. Madison Avenue is the devil. Las Vegas is the devil. All of these different things. And so we see then, you know, the Fortune 500 is the devil. And so once we begin to see that kingdom for what it is and what its treasures are and how even within that system we saw as we were stopping this morning that Satan comes as an angel of light. The devil loves to give money to philanthropic endeavors. The devil loves to raise money for poor little children. Anything that will take glory from God. Anything that will glorify and deify man. Anything that will make man look other than depraved. And so when we begin to see all of this stuff that's good that's going on, know what it is. And don't be naive. And understand what the end of all of that is. And the end is to dethrone God. And so as we see this conflict for what it really is, this war is not by any means over. We saw this morning the temptation of Jesus, and we saw then that after the temptation, the scripture goes on clearly and tells us, and the devil left him for a season. Amen? And we all know that, the temptations we face, that once we get through those things and we think, well, man, I'm glad that over, it's coming again, praise God. Just be ready. And realize then that Satan is continuously going about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to kill you. He wants to kill your children. He wants to seduce us. He wants to make us fall in love with or fall in love again with all of the trappings of this world system. He wants to draw on that that's within us that seeks glory and power and fame and all of the different aspects of what the world is comprised of. We saw in Luke chapter 4, turn over there for this evening, and we'll start there. There's a couple of different things that I wanted to speak toward. And in Luke chapter 4, this aspect of the temptation of Jesus, it says in verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "And the devil said unto him, he took him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." Now it's interesting, why would that phrase be there, in a moment of time? You see, he didn't just see the world in its power at that time. The accumulation of all that the world has done, accomplished, is all of its power cumulatively forever, Jesus saw at one time. That's quite a load, man. I mean, we're talking from building the pyramids to the Empire State Building to the Golden Gate Bridge. We're talking about the woven breastplates of the Mao dynasty, and we're talking about the atomic discovery of Hiroshima. All that man was militarily, all that man was in the days of Solomon, when silver was compiled and just stacked up like sand dunes because they didn't even have time to count it. Think about that. The wealth, the power of the Roman Empire that imperialistically ruled the world. The great British Empire, that the sun never sets upon the British Empire. Its little colonies, America. The power of this nation. And he showed it to him all in a moment, not just what was existing then. And listen to what the devil says. It says, "And he showed him these things in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you." Now watch. "And the glory of them." See, it's not all just about power. It's about glory. It's about recognition. It's about fame. It's about being, if you please, sanctified, set apart from all the common people. "And the glory of them." Watch. "For it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." Now, all of the world, all the stuff, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It's all distributed by the devil in that system. Now, God has his own source of distribution, doesn't he? That we call the blessings of the Lord. But he tells us how to get the blessings of the Lord. And we'll even speak of that in just a moment. But we see that within these parallel kingdoms, there are two distribution points. And many of us are very, very confused on where some of our stuff is coming from. And many of us are attributing to God things that we are taking from the devil and calling it God. And that's a dangerous place to be. And so we want to see then that if we're not trusting God, if he isn't our source, then what is our source is other than God. Amen? If faith isn't appropriating it, if God isn't the source, then the source is other than God, and there's only one other choice. And that's the kingdom of darkness. That's the world's system. We've seen and understand clearly that we are in the world, but we are not of it. So it's clear to us that within our operation within the world system, that God, orchestrating our steps, is able to promote us if He pleases. Amen. You know, throughout the scriptures, we talked about the evil of politics. We've talked about the evil and the danger of power. We've talked about the danger of wealth and all these different things. But throughout the scriptures, we see God putting people in politics. We see Him giving them wealth. So what makes it not dangerous is the source. But He also makes very clear in the scriptures that from His perspective, from His distribution, we're not all going to have it all. We're not to be even looking and desiring for many of these things. I don't want to get off real far off course right now, but 1 Timothy tells us, don't will to be rich. What do we do with that verse? Now, when I quoted that scripture, did your flesh shout amen? Many of us don't know God's system and we don't know God like we think we do. And this is what the Holy Spirit's trying to get us to do, is to be able to take a step back and go, man, I want to just come back to where I can trust Father. I want to just get into that place where I can just love the Lord. Amen? I want to get into that place so that when all of this stuff goes away, I've still got God. Because isn't that all that matters anyway? And so we see then in this passage of scripture that He says, now all you have to do is fall down and worship Me. Now, we know what Jesus responds. Get behind Me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and, say it, Him only shall thou serve. You notice that last word wasn't worship. Serve. You do something. You're busy about something. You're involved in the kingdom. Now Satan is still offering this stuff up. It's his to distribute to whoever he will, man. The devil can make you rich. He's a hard taskmaster. He pays wages, all right. The wages of sin is death. And so here we are, and we're in this conflict, and he's not asking you to join an occultic church. He's not going to ask you to literally bow down and burn incense to the devil. All he's asking you to do is just trust Father and trust yourself. Trusting yourself is worshiping the devil. That's what he's asking him to bow down and do right here. And so we see this conflict, and he tells him, I'll give you all of these things. And as I was in prayer this morning before the morning service, this one verse just came to me, and it actually just made me laugh some. I was sitting there and I was in the presence of the Lord, and I just started laughing because look what the devil offered him. This world, I will give you the power and the glory of all of them. And the Lord just brought up to me Matthew 28, and I flipped over real fast in 28:18. And look what it says. If you, like Jesus, refuse to bow down in those times of temptation, look what it says. And all power in heaven and earth was given to Jesus, praise God. Amen? Huh. Ended up with it anyway. Glory to God. Isn't that just like Father? We just don't seem to be able to wait Him out that long. We just seem to get distracted. in what really is important. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom. Amen? And so we see here the heart of God and His desire to be able to provide for His children. We've been talking a lot about, and we'll probably continue to for a little while, but we've been talking quite a bit about separating ourselves from the world and the things of the world. But it's not enough to just separate ourselves from the world. We've got to pursue God. Amen? Or it doesn't do us any good. Some of the scriptures are just so, turn back to Matthew with me, to Matthew chapter 6. And some of this scripture we've read and memorized, and it's just become, it's so familiar with our minds. It's so familiar that we actually don't hear it anymore. It hasn't any effect on us any longer. We really don't even hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And in Matthew chapter 6, He speaks to us, and He says in verse 25, now, just as a reminder, this is red ink, okay? So don't go anywhere to pray about it. This is the Master talking. This is the head of the church. This is Almighty God. There is no other verdict that can be arrived at. There is no court of appeal. Thy word is truth. Amen? So we start off in verse 25. And He says, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. You know what that tells me? We have no business worrying about all the stuff we worry about. He goes on and qualifies, look, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on, is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment. And then He talks about the fowls of the air that are provided for. Are you not much better than they? We still have to answer this question, and it's not answered in too many of our lives. Do we trust God? What is my perception of who my Father is? How much of this world is in me? How vexed am I? Do I truly believe that God has my best as His intention? And that's why we took time just a couple of services ago to find out, okay, it's one thing for God to have good intentions to us, but can He pull it off? And so we looked a little bit at Him. He's omnipotent. Amen? Who's going to resist His will? We saw all of these attributes of God. He's already been through your life. He knows how it's going to come out. He's already got that secret stone for you with that pet name upon it to be able to give us as a token of love and individuality in the midst of this great community called the church. In all of these vast myriads of millions and millions over the years of the church, He is specifically intimate with you, and He knows your name, and He knows the hairs on your head, and He knows every pain in your body, and He knows every thought you think, and He loves you. Hallelujah. And at this very moment, He is making intercession for you. And I'll tell you one thing, He's praying right now. He's praying that we would hear what He's saying. Amen. He's praying that all the world would be dug out of our ears. All this wax that's clogging our ears would be dug out, and we would begin to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. He's praying that we would be able to hear and see this and go, amen, I trust God. Oh yeah, praise God, amen, that's so true. And if we think we're going to lose one little thing, we go into panic mode. That this life might cost us something. It might cost us persecution on the job. We might lose a friend or a loved one or a relative. Not so, Lord. I've already got my concept of what the kingdom is. Let me tell you one thing the kingdom is not. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink. Amen? But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This kingdom is spiritual. Our communion with Him is spiritual. He is a spirit, and those that worship Him in the spirit realm and in truth. And all the worship bands and the piano playing and all the instruments and all of the sweet little choruses that everybody writes have their place. But true worship is in the Spirit. The purest worship is never articulated because there are no words. The closest we can ever get is the Holy Ghost praying through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How pure God is, and how holy, and how separate, and how far above this realm of the natural and time and space that we occupy. And He's calling us apart. He wants us to know Him and commune with Him in the spirit realm. Oh, that voice that is so clear, that clarion call when you're just totally quiet, as you've been on your face before God, as you've shut everything of this world out, and all of a sudden that voice goes off in your spirit, and you hear the voice of God, and it brings life and refreshing into you like nothing else possibly can. And you know you're in the will of God, and you know you're in the place where the voice of God is. And you say, there's nothing that I would rather have than this. And then we get distracted again. And we go on and we follow all of these shadows, and we follow all these false promises, and we follow all these lusts and all this ambition. And the treasure is right there to be had at any time when you'll get quiet and get before God and let Him talk to you. And shut everybody else out. And so Jesus is speaking to us here, and He says, I don't want you to get caught up in this stuff. And you see how He provides for all of His creation. Are you, verse 26, not much better than they? Now, why are you going to worry about it anyway? Who, by taking thought, can change it? And He goes on and He begins to unfold some more of these great principles to us. And we go down into verse 31. He says, therefore I say, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the heathen seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He knows. And then He goes into this verse that every one of us is so overly familiar with. But the great truth that's in it. It's the same truth that we find in Ephesians and in Colossians. Keep your finger here for just a moment. We're going to come right back to Matthew 7. But flip over there for just a second to Ephesians and Colossians. And look what this principle is that becomes part of what has to be done for us to walk and to live in this victory. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says in verse 22, and this is something we've got to hear clearly. We've been hearing it, but only you can answer the question as to what's been being done, whether there's been true repentance, whether there's been a choice to humble ourselves and place ourselves back in the proper relationship with our Father. He says in verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And so here again, the admonition that we've been talking about, something has to be done. Everything that the old man loves, the old man is the guy in Romans chapter 7. He's the unregenerated man that doesn't resist the evil that's in his members. Paul's crying out, Paul's lamenting. In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. He goes on, as we've said, oh, wicked man that I am, who, you know, you can hear the desperation of his cry. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? This thing is just killing me. It's lust, it's appetites. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of my thoughts. I'm sick of my actions. Anything. You go, man, Paul must have been a perverted dude, man. No, the holier you get, the more vile everything becomes. Everything now that many of us could entertain, Paul would have entertained, Paul would have been horrified by. I hate this. That's what I used to be. And of course, before regeneration then, the flesh wasn't lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. The spirit and the flesh were going, yeah, let's get her on, man. Two are better than one. I don't know about you, but I got in agreement with the devil. I did great things for the devil. And I'd like to do some great things for God. So when Paul's speaking here and he's talking about the old man, he's talking about the man that never resisted evil. Didn't get convicted. I didn't get convicted when I stole from somebody. I laughed at them. I thought it was cool. You don't feel bad and convicted when you put some guy's lights out. You feel preeminent. And now everything that you do, any thought, anything that you say, whatever choice you make that's not right, and that spirit in you just goes, man, I hate that. I shouldn't have done that. And so often we'll respond. So many times we'll repent instantly. Many of us, you'll be able to make some type of restitution or whatever it might be. You might sit there and stuff you know that you shouldn't have done and or have, and you take it back. And you bought something you don't need out of lust and you return it. You go, I hate that stuff. Don't want that thing to have any power over me. Thank God when that happens. It shows you're alive in the Spirit. Amen? But if you can do it and not hear that voice, if you can live like the world lives and pursue its treasures, then you have not put off the old man concerning the flesh. And we need to begin to make decisions, quality decisions, to be able to put these things away. We talked about this morning, the fleeing, the shunning. Many of us don't want to admit it, but too many of us in here, especially after the years now, I've been hammering on grace for years now. And we've been talking about grace, and we've been talking about justification, and we've been talking about the different positions that we occupy in our sonship. We look at the legal head of the kingdom, which is Jesus, and we're seen righteous through His righteousness. And in the process, many of us have gone back and begun to pick up and become antinomian in our thoughts. Now, most of us know what antinomianism is, that doctrine that they were battling, especially here as it pertained to the Jews. And antinomianism, just speaking about the fact that the law no longer applies to us as Christians. Many of us here have even been deceived to think that obedience to the commandments of God can become legalism. I don't want to be legalistic. Let me tell you something. Obedience is not legalism. Amen? I don't want to be under any restrictions. You need to be under restrictions. You've got to be. How many times have we quoted 1 Peter here in the last couple of weeks? We are a peculiar people. We are a holy nation. We have boundaries. We are under restrictions. You can't do what you want to do. You don't have the right to go outside of these boundaries. When you do, you're in the kingdom of darkness. You're in Satan's domain. You want to know it's a pretty good place to be in there? You want to know why? You see that thing there? You know those boundaries? Well, I don't like rules. I don't like boundaries. I don't like being told what to do. Inside those boundaries, the devil comes up there frustrated before God and says, I can't touch him. You got a hedge around him. Amen. Amen. And some of us are getting the tar beat out of us and wondering, what's going on? I've been believing God. You're outside the boundaries. You've set your own guidelines. You're trusting in your own decisions, in your own brand X of holiness. Get outside God's law and outside of God's order and then wonder why the word isn't working. Why these promises aren't just flourishing in our lives. Why our prayers no longer have any power. Why we can't hear the voice of God, but from 3 blocks we can hear that text beep. Beep! It's what your heart's in tune to. Don't lie against it. It's the truth. Now he tells us, he admonishes us, listen, put this stuff away. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay? So immediately, the spirit of your mind, immediately we go to Romans 12, don't we, in our thinking. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this, but be transformed. Be not conformed, the will of God, that you can prove the will of God. Be not conformed to the world, the will of God. The will of God is don't be conformed to the world. The will of God is have your mind renewed constantly. Have your mind transformed. That's the will of God. What's God's will for you to do? Get your mind cleaned up. Get the course set. Seeking the things that are above where Jesus is at the Father's right hand. Being moved in your heart, not by some real estate deal down here, but a city that's built without hands, praise God. Whose builder and maker is God. What are our treasures? Don't give the pat answers. We all got the pat answers. What occupies our minds on a daily basis? Is it the coming of Jesus? Is it that invisible city? Is it the absolutely transformed mind so that all of this garbage will be cleaned out of our thinking so that we're no longer being driven by ambition and lust? To where we can love and be happy in all of the simplicity of the kingdom of God? Mike's gratification and satisfaction is just being able to love and help my brother. Best thing I can do. No greater refreshing than loving one another. He goes on and he tells us, he said, listen. And put on the new man. See, we've been talking a lot about putting off, but he says, put on the new man. What does this new man look like? Well, he doesn't get angry. Sin has no dominion over him, verse 26. He doesn't give place to the devil, verse 27. He doesn't steal, verse 28. He labors with his hands and provides good to the community. He doesn't allow corrupt communication to proceed out of his mouth. He doesn't bring strife in the body and a critical spirit. But he does that that's good to edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. The new man doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit. The new man isn't moving in bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. But is kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Put on that man. Seek those things. Make that your checklist. Make that what you're meditating on every day. And not the baseball scores or the stock market or the newest thing. Is this what we're looking for? Is this what we're saying, Lord, that's who I want to be right there. That's what I want in my life. You think it's just going to happen? It didn't come through osmosis. It comes from dying continually. Colossians says it a little bit differently, but you look over at the Colossians passage. And he says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. How much of the day are we spending looking and saying, is this who I am today? Am I acting like this today? Is the fruit of the Spirit prevalent in my life? What I want more than ever today is to be more forbearing and more forgiving than I was yesterday. I want to be more kind. I want to be more merciful. Above all of these things, verse 14, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And then let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. Put it on. Put on this new man. How much effort are we making on a daily basis for this to take place? How much of an effort are we making to see that this old man that's to be put away is crucified? No, you're not going to get your way. No, we're not going to listen to talk radio on the way to work. We're going to pray. Amen? No, everybody is not going to get their special little ditty, whatever it might be. I need to get quiet and get before God. That's what's preeminent right now. Look what he says. Jesus says it this way. Holy Ghost spoke through Paul, through Ephesians and Colossians, Romans. But Jesus said this this way in verse 33. You want to be free from the world? Seek first the kingdom. Amen? Boy, that's simple. We wouldn't have even had to go overtime this morning. Seek first the kingdom. It's that simple. If you're seeking first the kingdom, the world can't get a hold of you. It can't have any power over you. And it's amazing to me, like in our community here, there was, I can't even remember what it was that came up the other day, so I just turned to Vera. I said, is that the new fad among us? You know, we have our own little fads we do here, right? And I can't remember if it was some herb thing or, if it was, I think it was an herb. Now, I don't dislike herbs. Okay? But we got a lot of people here that believe in herb power. I believe in Holy Ghost power. Well, God created herbs, yeah, and He created grass too. You know? And the reality being, and here's the point that I'm wanting to make, how we become so involved. You know, I love, you know, the diet fad that we had, that we went through here, and you know, I won't make any more comments than that. And God created a law. You got to burn more than you take in. Just figure it out. And that's all I have to say about that. And so the problem is, though, then in our midst here, we start promoting that. And we're promoting this fad, this weight loss fad, and this herb fad. How much time are we spending promoting the goodness of God and the healing by the stripes of Jesus? And the time that we've spent in prayer and soliciting one another for what we can pray about and becoming a prayer warrior on their behalf. Bringing the children in to the prayer chamber and letting them see you pray and hear you pray. Don't take a 2 and 3 year old and try to have them come pray with you for a half hour. Bring them in, but and in their time span, whatever it is, their 5 minutes that they might do, and then turn them loose and then go put crayons on the wall or whatever. But you know, as we include them into our lives and see who we really are, this is what's important in our life. We're so vexed, many of us as believers, we've adopted so much of the world's philosophy, we almost believe it's sin to say no. And some of you husbands, listen, you need to learn this word, no. No. I'm not talking about being harsh. I'm talking about resolve. I'm talking about understanding you're going to give an account. Men, you are going to stand before God and give an account of that flock that He's given you. And a sobriety, a hunger for holiness, and separation and purity, a love for prayer, a love for the Word of God that transcends all of these earthly games that we play. That He would be all in all. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen? Amen. What's today's goal? Become more righteous. Become more effective for the kingdom of God. To be a better witness, to be a better husband, to be a better wife, to be more loving, to be kinder. Seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Now, to spend more time seeking the kingdom, just in and of itself, takes time out of the world, doesn't it? And as you get in the presence of God, and these times that are such a blessing, last night as I was just fellowshipping with the Lord, and I sat down in the chair that I pray in some, and in the kitchen area there, and I just sat down, I just began to worship the Lord and meditating on these scriptures, and I can't say that anything really special took place. The Lord spoke a couple of different things to me, and you just kind of open your, come back into the natural realm, and you look and go, man, 2.5 hours is gone. As you get into His presence and you get just absolutely absorbed in His love and in the awareness of it, of that presence that transforms you, your appetites change. Wouldn't you love to never come out of that? Don't misunderstand this, and we know what God's Word says, but some of you singles who are so desperate to get married, and I've even made the comment publicly that some of you are, my question is, what are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting for the perfect person. Well, if they did exist, they wouldn't want you because you're not perfect. So the point I'm making here is not contrary to we need to be. It's good for a man to find he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. But I'm talking about those of you that are in your singleness. Paul makes this comment and he says, listen, while you are in this condition, you don't have the responsibilities, ladies, now, of keeping the home and caring for your husband and caring for children. That time should not be consumed on you. It should be given to the kingdom. Isn't that what Paul teaches? Read Corinthians 7. You don't use it playing and running around and I'm single. He says the benefit of being single is that you have more time for the kingdom. And he even speaks in and says, and sadly, though it's a good thing for us, that when you do get married and you do have these other responsibilities, the fact of the matter is it takes away from that communion time. And you've got to now look for those opportunities and create them. They're not just natural because of your singleness. Paul said you're better off in light of the hour. Now he thought 2,000 years ago Jesus was coming back. But he said you're better off in light of the hour to remain single and just get prepared for the coming of the Lord. But if you need to marry, marry. We're not talking about marriage here. We're talking about how much time you spend with the Lord. We're talking about what the priority of our life should be. And that's the kingdom of God. That's the presence of God. Now he goes on and he says here to seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And then as a postscript, he goes on and says, and listen, and all this stuff we've just been talking about, these things will be added to you. Stop worrying. Sufficient to the day. Live one day at a time. Trust God today. You don't even know tomorrow's coming. Amen? We know the miracles. We know when the famine was taking place and the comment was made by this man. He said, if God opened the windows of heaven, we couldn't have provision enough. And they had more than they knew what to do with the next day, didn't they? Don't worry about tomorrow. There's no way God will be able to take care of this thing. He in one moment can give you exceeding abundant above all that you could ask or even think. Praise God. All that pain in your body, all the time of believing God in one moment, healed. Praise God. You want to set the best environment to get healed? Seek the kingdom first. You want to set the best possible environment for God to be able to provide these things in our lives? Seek first the kingdom, and these things will be added to you. We've made the comment recently that we're as holy as we want to be. Paul verifies that. Those big numbers say 828. Paul verifies that in Philippians. Look at it for just a second. And here's what we'll end up with for this evening. Ask ourselves the question. When he says, seek first the kingdom, he also tells us in the word that we're to seek him with all of our hearts. Oh, you mean I can't just, you know, seek him when I feel like it? When it's not an inconvenience? How about if I seek him 23%? Well, if you're seeking that new real estate with 25%, you're out of order. Because he says seek, what? Seek. What's the priority of all our lives? Seek the kingdom of God. More than your job? The ones I always like is when people are going to do something that the Word of God specifically commands us to do, and we're going to forego that for a week or for a month so that we can go let the Lord bless us. I've got this opportunity. I can forego these biblical responsibilities I have, but I can go down here and make a bundle in 90 days and let the Lord bless me with this, and then I'll come back and pick up where I need to be. The devil will gladly pay you off and let you call it God. Philippians, we'll end with this for tonight. Paul speaking, we're all very familiar with the passage here in chapter 3. The phrase that I love, we'll look at a couple of other verses, but this phrase I just love. I can still remember a service up in the gym preaching on this very passage and remember exactly what the Holy Spirit was doing in the meeting at that time. It was a really outstanding time of visitation of the Holy Spirit. But in verse 12, Paul makes this comment. And he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Jesus. What's he saying here? God has a plan for you. He has something that you need to apprehend because he apprehended you to do that work. Are we fulfilling what God has called us to do in His body, in His kingdom? Do we even know what it is? Some of us think we do. Some of us have great aspirations. Some of us, you know, see ourselves as going to be used great and mightily of God. Why don't we just be faithful in the small things? Why don't we let a man's gift make room for him? Amen? How about seeking the kingdom first and just do what God has given you to do at this time and let Him add to you? And Paul says, I'm going to press toward this thing. I've got one thing that's compelling me, and it's to be what God wants me to be. To apprehend that for which I am apprehended. My sonship. My dominion over sin. In the great revelation of Romans 6 that the Holy Spirit gave him. And as he speaks here and he says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things of the old man, the old life, the past ambition, the past life planning, the goals that I had set as a young man that were set by a carnal individual who didn't know Jesus. There's a lot of us still pursuing goals and ambitions that we made in the flesh. And we don't even know what God's wanting to do right now. But Paul says, I forget everything that's behind. And I reach to those things that are before. And we know this passage. I press toward the mark. That word press in the Greek means to pursue with speed. How speedily are you after what God's been telling you to change and do? I press toward that mark. The Greek there also implies not only with speed, but it's a full extension of all of our abilities. Can we answer the question tonight to this? Do you really believe that you are putting in 100% effort in seeking first the kingdom of God? It's what you're obsessed with. There's not even a close second. Paul seems to be speaking to you and I here and saying, this is normative Christianity. This isn't super spiritual. This is what Christians do. This is what people who have their eternal souls delivered from hell do out of appreciation for the one that bought them. And not keep living for themselves. And living like the world. Just kind of a way of saying, appreciate it. Appreciate you were made sin for me. Appreciate it. Now I'll catch you later. I've got some place to run and do and play. I've got land to buy. I took a wife. I've got to prove some oxen. My business ventures need to be looked into. But I appreciate you dying for me and being made sin. Now I know you were holy and it hurt a little bit, but you know, appreciate it. Catch you when I can. Lovest thou me more than these? Now you denied me and I took you back. But I got a question for you. Do you love me more than this stuff? You love me more than that big miracle provision I gave you? Oh yeah, Jesus, when you're pouring the fish on, it's great, man. When you rescue me in the storm and deliver me from sinking and dying out there, that appreciate that, man. Praise God. Hope you don't mind me denying you when things get a little tough, because you know Peter's neck was on the line there. I always think that's so funny, but I think some of us, it might be interesting to do that. Talk about ourselves in the first person. Have you ever heard people do that? It's so funny how obsessed they are with themselves. Paul says, everything in me wants to be like Jesus. I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be mature Christians, be thus minded. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal our hearts to us. Father, I'm not seeking you with all my heart. There's so much greater effort I can make, and I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to stir up the gift that's in me. I ask you to open my eyes to the things that I'm blinded to. I want you to help me forget all of that that's behind, all of the vain glory. Keep me from bowing down and worshiping the devil. By letting him be any source in my life. That we would look to you, Father, for every morsel of bread, every ounce of strength, every bit of wisdom and understanding to stay on course. Our standards have not been yours. We're living below what your blood has afforded us. You have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Let us take them up and do a better job tomorrow than we did today. And for that, Father, we'll give you all the praise, give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if you're not clear right now on some of the different things that need to change in your life, don't even bother going and asking Father at this moment. Just seek Him first. And you'll then be able to hear clearly what He has to say to you. Many of us in the condition that we're in some of the counseling we've had to do in different areas we've been recently, many of us, as we shared a couple of months ago, many of us have fallen back into that deceitfulness and lie of that inner voice. And that's the voice of self. That's many of us being answered according to our own idols. Whenever you can get that inner voice to agree with what you initially wanted to do, but as we get quiet, the role of the Holy Spirit, He will lead us into all truth. Amen? Turn to somebody next to you and just say, He'll lead you into all truth. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.